Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Stocks to Watch, Wall Street Breakfast's Weekend Edition, our news team's weekend preview of upcoming IPOs, earnings reports, conference presentations, investor days, FDA decisions, Barron's mentions, and other key events that could impact stocks to set you up for the week ahead in the markets. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. Good morning. Today is Sunday, March 7th, and I'm your host, Rena Sherbel. We begin with a breakdown of the week ahead from Seeking Alpha's news team. Investors continue to evaluate the impact of the congressional vote on stimulus in the week ahead and the direction of interest rates. On the corporate calendar, earnings reports only are trickling in, but U.S. telecom giants Verizon, T-Mobile, and AT&T all hold big investor events. Gaming platform Roblox is set to go public in a direct listing next week. Roblox expects its revenue to double in Q1 and daily active users to be up between 59 and 68% from last year's levels. Roblox joins a list of high-profile companies like Palantir and Spotify that went public through the direct path. That list could include Instacart shortly. In earnings news, we have XPeng, Stitch Fix, and Casey's General Stores reporting on the 8th, Dick's Sporting Goods and MongoDB on the 9th, Oracle, Campbell's Soup, Cloudera, Rev, and Best reporting on the 10th, JD.com and DocuSign on the 11th, and Jinko Solar on the 12th. In IPO news, IPOs expected to price include Coupang and First High School Education on March 11th and Joanne and Hayward Holdings on the 12th. The direct listing for Roblox is expected to start trading on the 10th. The IPO lockup period expires on Nanobiotics SA on March 11th. Quiet period expirations during the week include Adagene, Epia, Bumble, Bioventus, Viant Technology, Loan Depot, Klupen Group, Signify Health, Decibel Therapeutics, and Neximmune. Verizon, T-Mobile, and AT&T, as we mentioned earlier, will all hold analyst days next week. Taking the broad view, Bank of America expects the carriers to discuss 5G deployment efforts and CapEx expectations. We suspect AT&T and Verizon will continue spending at the same level to attempt to take advantage of C-band spectrum as quickly as possible. Based on our conversation with the company, we believe T-Mobile will likely lower its prior around $40 billion over 3 years CapEx budget per its 2018 merger deck. We suspect this is a mix of signing new long-term tower deals, improved purchasing power, and greater insight into the merger integration effort. This was the preview of the firm. JP Morgan says it hopes to get a better view on how AT&T will account for the cost of the 15 to 17 films that will be streamed for 30 days on HBO Max this year, without which it is impossible to estimate segment EBITDA for the year. The firm also expects an update of long-term domestic and international subscriber guidance. In M&A news, there are a number of shareholder votes on mergers this week. The IHS Markit S&P Global deal goes to a vote on March 11th, and the Alaska Communications ATN International merger goes to a vote on the 12th. DraftKings holds its first Investor Day event as a public company. The presentation will give the company a chance to comment on what it sees as the total addressable market for sports betting in the U.S. and the path to profitability. Investor events are also scheduled for Cigna, Fortinet, Chevron, and CyberArk Software. This week in Barron's mentions, the stocks and themes drawing attention in Barron's Weekly Edition. The publication makes a strong case that the pullback in Vertex Pharmaceuticals is overdone. Despite the slide in the stock, following the canceled development of a promising drug, it is noted that not enough has actually changed for Vertex to warrant the loss of confidence. A sleeper pick in the e-commerce sector is also called out. MYT Netherlands parent BV is seen benefiting from tailwinds in the luxury market. The company is growing by about 7% annually and is set up for further expansion in the US and China. And finally, the concerns of Lowe's being a COVID-19 play are dismissed. With COVID receding, Lowe's is set to become a more profitable company, while housing might be more resilient than it's given credit for. Just as important, Lowe's has also been a turnaround story, and with life returning to normal, it can finally demonstrate how far it has come. That read the rundown of the home improvement retailer. And this week, in our single stock focus, we're covering the ETF ARK Innovation, which trades under ARKK. We're covering that with Seeking Alpha author Kubiku. Kubiku writes, ARK deserves a lot of credit. Their performance to date has been spectacular as they were early movers on many investment themes, and retail investors' thirst for investments in areas of growth, momentum, or hype, with valuation being of little relevance, intersecting with the emergence of active ETFs. Good on them. However, like Janus in the waning days of the dot-com bubble, ARK has grown so rapidly and taken on so much capital in a short time, with assets going from $3.6 billion to nearly $60 billion at a recent peak in about a year, that the firm has poured massive amounts of fresh capital into names like Tesla that were robustly priced to begin with and have helped push them much higher. In several cases, due to these inflows, ARK owns a large percentage of shares outstanding in many companies. Kubiko continues, it's also worth noting that in addition to funds directly controlled by ARK due to its profile and enthusiast retail investor following, their moves are replicated by and followed by many investors, so their influence likely results in even impact, both bad and good, in their holdings. Stock investor forums are filled with investors talking about ARK's moves and their outlandish price targets on certain holdings. Kubiko goes on, given the sell-off in growth stocks over the past days and weeks, it's unsurprising that true to their nature, some investors are starting to pull the plug, whether due to emotion, angry spouses, or friendly calls from the margin clerk. Through yesterday, March 3rd, ARK's flagship ARK ETF has seen outflows on 4 of the last 7 days, based on my calculations. It will be important to watch the daily flows in and out of this ETF, as outflows are currently modest relative to fund size, but could pick up pace if growth stocks continue to sell off. Kubiko continues, ARK has had several billions in inflows at prices much higher than the current trading price of around 125. I estimate about $7 billion of net inflow since December 18th, 2020, the last time the shares were in the $125 range, is now underwater. I estimate a drop of about 14% from here will wipe out all the dollar value of investment return generated by ARK in this ETF, the brunt of which would be borne by ladder investors. It's worth pointing out that this is not necessarily a fault with ARK itself. They have, up until the recent growth sell-off, put up impressive return figures. Investors that put in capital years ago are still quite happy. As for the masses that plowed in at what appears to be the peak for now, it's looking more like this. It appears that, like Janus, the ARK phenomenon is yet another example of the same mistake that investors have been making for decades, plowing into investments and funds after they have had an epic run. Overall, Seeking Alpha authors skew bearish on the ARK Innovation ETF, with 5 neutral, 1 bearish, and 2 very bearish. That concludes this week's Stocks to Watch. Thank you for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to SeekingAlpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can also sign up for our other podcasts, Alpha Trader, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, Let's Talk ETFs, and Marketplace Roundtable Podcast on those platforms as well. Have a great week.